is Archbishop William Laurie of Baltimore, and you are listening to Catholic Review Radio. Catholic Review Radio is a weekly radio program and podcast hosted by Catholic Review Media, the news operation of the Archdiocese of Baltimore. We are grateful to our Catholic partners for the opportunity to bring quality Catholic programming to our listeners each week.
Welcome to Catholic Review Radio. I'm George Matisek. Source of All Hope is a Catholic missionary program founded 7 years ago at the Basilica of the National Shrine of the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary in Baltimore. It sends young adults into the city streets to walk alongside people experiencing homelessness, not as social workers, but as friends. Through prayer, conversation, and simple presence, they seek to share the love of God one relationship at a time. Here to talk about that work are two of the program's current missionaries, Eric Kelter, a 24-year-old from Charlotte, North Carolina, who came to Source of All Hope after doing college campus ministry, and Daniel Otto, a Baltimore parishioner and a seminarian for the Archdiocese of Baltimore, who spent years working in politics before feeling called to the priesthood. So Aaron and Daniel, thanks so much for being here on Catholic Review Radio.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you for having us today.
So I got to spend some time with both of you on one of your walks on the streets of Baltimore back in April, and I was amazed at the way you interacted with the people experiencing homelessness. I'm thinking specifically of one homeless man named Keith, who was just standing on a corner in the city, and as soon as he saw you guys, he just lit up. He came over to you, gave you a big bear hug. You prayed with him. You gave him a pair of fresh socks and a bottle of water. Is that typical? Is that the kind of thing you experience on the streets with the homeless population? Maybe Dan, you want to start?
With some of our friends that we've been able to build relationships with, I mean, there's always varying degrees of how we're greeted or how we greet people. But I'd say with the people we've been able to build relationships, often it's a pretty warm welcoming, both from them, but also we're so excited to see them, you know, every time as well. So.
How about you, for you, Aaron?
Yeah, Keith has known the missionaries for many years now, so it's just a gift to be able to continue that friendship that has been with this program for so many years, and just like passing that down to Daniel and I on the South Route, which is normally where he is. So it's just a gift and a blessing to encounter him on the streets when we do get to see him, because he has become a very dear friend.
One of the things that struck me about what he said about your relationship is that he said most people just walk by. They might give him a dollar or a coin or something, but you guys stop and see him as a person. Mm. How important is that to the ministry that you do? How would you describe the purpose of your ministry?
Yeah, good question. So as a program, we are relationship-based. So our goal is not to go out and serve these people per se. It's to go out and love them and to see Christ in them, and seeing Christ in the community that we live in, but going out to the streets and encountering Christ in those that are experiencing homelessness.
Mm-hmm. How about for you, Dan? What is it like praying with these folks and getting to know them as friends?
Yeah, it's really powerful. We've, you know, multiple times for many people, it's been expressed how much they've been ignored by, you know, a lot of people. Or that, you know, people haven't heard their names used in the, you know, really long periods of time, or that they haven't had their birthday celebrated in years, you know, these are things we take for granted, you know. And so really being able to just be a part of their lives really is a profound thing. And I remember there was one day we didn't have, we were driving and we were stopped at a stoplight and we didn't have, you know, food or money or anything. And the guy just expressed how grateful he was that we were saying hi to him, acknowledging him, and, you know, using his name when we were talking to him. So that meant more to him, honestly, than the food or money that we could have given him.
Mm-hmm. And that's one thing you don't do, is you don't give out money. That's
right.
Can you talk about that?
Yeah. So, you know, giving out money, there's nothing wrong with giving out money, to be clear. But we avoid it in our ministry because we're trying to build genuine relationships with them, and we don't want our relationships to become transactional. Whereby it is, they see us and they know we have money for them, or X, Y, and Z. But we're trying to build genuine relationships that aren't just based on the exchange of stuff, and what, we can get out of each other.
What have been some of the most moving moments for you in this ministry, Aaron?
Yeah, I think just being able to encounter our friends in the street, whether that's during our street walks, during our investing period, which we get to spend more intentional one-on-one time with a friend, and at our meal ministry, and just being able to sit down and have conversations, and just being a listening ear for these friends and these people, and yeah, just being able to hear their story, hear about their lives, hear about what they like and things that make them smile, some things they may have not thought about in many years, and just being able to be with them in those moments, I think is a real gift, for sure.
How about for you, Dan? What special moments stand out for you?
I think it's really the moments where kind of our hearts kind of are laid bare and connect with each other. An example of this would be we were talking to a friend of ours, Jake, on South MLK, and we're talking and we're catching up, and all of a sudden he's looking up at us with, he has these really kind eyes, and he gets quiet, and all of a sudden he just expresses to us how much it means to him that, every time we see him, we stop. There's, we never we just keep walking our way, but that we stop and say hi to him every time. But I think also, more importantly than that is how much I felt moved by it and how much I re kind of realized in that moment how much Jake also meant to me and to Aaron. And that, at this point, honestly, our lives wouldn't be the same without getting to know him. So I think the power really comes in those moments when our hearts connect with each other.
When I was walking with you guys, I remember that one of the things you had talked about is a lot of these people are experiencing despair, a lack of hope. And one of the things that you said, Daniel, is that you have said things to people that the Daniel of a year ago would never have had the words to say. Could you talk more about that? What words do you say, and how do you encourage people when they're in despair?
I think it's hard to, it's not that I have a rap sheet of, cookie cutter responses or anything. It really is in a moment, the Holy Spirit, guiding me and moving me. But I think in the past, I would have just been frozen, or unable to speak to it. I just would have stayed silent, and kind of awkwardly been like, this is weird. This is awkward. You're uncomfortable. Now I'm uncomfortable, and just not known how to engage at all. And I don't think it really is about necessarily having those quote unquote golden words or anything. A lot of it is just accompanying them and being with them. I mean, in the same way that any of us sometimes just need somebody to sit with us when we're sad or upset or angry and just be a friend who's present, to you. And then, that can lead to moments of prayer or, encouragement or letting them know that I love them and I'm there for them. But I think it's not, again, about a cookie cutter answer, but more about that moment and letting them, through whatever form, verbal or physical communication, let them know that they're not alone and that we're here with them for it.
One of the things that I found striking is that at your community room at the Sexton's Lodge Cafe, you have a wall with a crucifix, and surrounding that crucifix are cardboard signs with the names of all the people that you befriended on the streets who have died. And I think right now there are 36 names on that. Aaron, why is that important? Why do you pray for those people? What kind of connection do you feel with the people who have passed?
It's just a beautiful way that we at Source of All Hope get to honor just the dignity of the human person and being able to acknowledge God's just generous creation of us as human beings and in his image and likeness, and just being able to pray for a soul that had become a dear friend to the past missionaries with Source and some even present missionaries. Few of us know names that are on that wall. We had close relationships with those friends, and just being able to pray for them, to intercede for them, and to ask the Lord just to have mercy on them, and just praying for their soul.
Daniel, you are a seminarian for the Archdiocese of Baltimore. What kind of impact has this ministry had on your preparation for the priesthood, do you think?
I've been thinking about that a lot as kind of the year winds down and as I get ready to start at St. Mary's in the fall. But I think it's had a profound impact. I think a lot of times all of us get a little lost talking about care for the poor or care for the disenfranchised or caring for other people or loving everybody regardless of their station in life. And we sometimes think of that a little bit in the abstract, because we are not confronted with it. This has forced me in a good way to put, Christian charity and love into practice every single day in a real way with people I don't know, with people who are struggling in ways that I can't relate to. And learn to minister with them, minister to them, and comfort them, become friends with them, across a wide range of backgrounds, in a very real and practical way, which I think has prepared me for then going into more of the theological studies aspect of seminary, and take these concrete examples with me into that.
What advice would you have for people who are afraid of people on the street? Like, if someone comes up to you and asks for money or asks for something, what should a person do? What kind of advice would you have for that person?
Yeah, I would say just acknowledging them as a human being. I think it's very easy to disregard, to be scared, to put walls up, but to acknowledge them as a human being, asking their name, giving them a smile, and just knowing that they're loved and that the Lord loves them.
Great. Well, we're talking today about the Source of All Hope Urban Missionary Ministry, which is based at the Baltimore Basilica. And our guests this segment have been Aaron Kelter and Daniel Otto. So, Aaron and Dan, thanks so much for being here on Catholic Review Radio.
Thank you so much for having us. Good talking to you again.
Yes, thank you for the time and allowing us to share more.
We're going to take a little break. And when we come back, we'll speak with Father Brendan Fitzgerald, Rector of the Baltimore Basilica, about some exciting news about the future of the Source of All Hope ministry. For Catholic Review Radio, I'm George Matisek. We'll be back in a moment.
Catholic news from the Archdiocese of Baltimore and around the world with the Catholic Review. Ann Bartlinski, Director of Orphan Care and Medical Intervention Programs for Open Hearts for Orphans, has helped launch a new pediatric ward at St. Joseph's Hospital in Masaka, Uganda. The program was inspired by a critical ill child she encountered during a visit to the hospital in 2025. Bartlinski, a former parishioner of St. Mark in Catonsville, who now lives in Florida, said the experience reminded her of her daughter Teresa, who died in 2013 at age 6 from congenital heart disease after being adopted from China. Moved by the encounter, she worked with hospital leaders and the nonprofit to improve care for vulnerable children. The result is the newly opened Josiah's Hope Pediatric Ward, a $60,000 renovation that upgraded the hospital's facilities and expanded its ability to care for children, many of them orphans. Fundraising is underway for critical medical equipment. For more on this story, visit CatholicReview.org. For everyone at Catholic Review Media, I'm Kevin Parks.
This is Archbishop William Laurie of Baltimore, and you are listening to Catholic Review Radio.
Welcome back to Catholic Review Radio. I'm George Matisek. We're talking today about the Source of All Hope Urban Missionary Program based at the Basilica of the National Shrine of the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary. The Baltimore-based ministry invites young adults from around the country to encounter and befriend people experiencing homelessness in the city. Since its founding, more than 50 missionaries have served in the program. Joining us in this segment is the rector of the Baltimore Basilica, Father Brendan Fitzgerald. Father Brendan, thanks so much for being back again on Catholic Review Radio.
I'm very glad to be here, George.
So maybe we could start just with the name, the Source of All Hope. What does that mean, and why is this program named the Source of All Hope?
Oh, that's a great question. You know, hope is a theological virtue. Our church teaches that hope is, a habit of soul, a new possibility for a person who has been baptized and united to Christ. So hope is something that God makes possible for us, in particular through the life and death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Hope is a kind of confidence you have that you can get to where you're going, to where you're supposed to be. Hope is about, you know, knowing, trusting that you can make it to heaven, that you're loved by God, that there's a reason for your existence. Our missionaries in their work, the friendships they form with the homeless in Baltimore, are a source of hope, you know, presence that reminds people experiencing homelessness that there's a place they belong, there's a reason they exist, that they're loved by the Father, and it's why we go out. We want to be able to give that hope. Real hope can become contagious, and our world certainly needs it. So that's kind of, I think, the idea behind the name Source of All Hope, because it's bound up with the kind of work that we like to think we're doing.
Now, you currently have 6 missionaries, 3 men and 3 women.
We do.
Can you talk about how you recruit the missionaries and what kind of formation they go, what kind of background checks and things like that?
Sure. I mean, we recruit in various ways. We have targeted recruitment efforts. We visit different colleges and universities all over the United States. We travel regularly to places like Franciscan University, of course, but we also travel further afield. We've been investing in Texas recently, visiting various universities in Texas. So we'll have 2 missionaries coming to us from Texas next year. So, you know, we start to see those fruits once we build the relationships in other places with chaplains and with campus ministers. We have strong relationships with our local colleges and universities. UMBC, Towson University, Johns Hopkins, Loyola, their campus ministers, their chaplains, their students, they join us for many of our meal ministries or for walks on the street. So that helps quite a bit. And also just random word of mouth in strange ways. We have this really strong relationship with a large Catholic community in Minnesota right now. We're about to get our 4th missionary who's come to us out of this community. It's kind of grounded in one parish, but it's kind of more expansive than a parish. There's a school involved as well. And that's just really cool. And once people, I mean, it's just life. Once people know who you are, they trust, and they'll recommend the program to family or friends, to children. That's a cool thing. So that's what recruitment looks like right now in particular. The missionaries, when they come, their work is to get busy on the streets, forming these friendships with the homeless. But our work behind the scenes as formators is to help the missionaries grow in the ways of discipleship. I want the young men and women who spend their year or 2 years with us to leave as better servants of the church. That's kind of my focus, and it works. I mean, I think it's really beautiful. One of our missionaries this year, who's finishing up, she's taking a job at a Mother Seton Academy doing campus ministry. You know, she's 10 times more mature and grounded, I think, than she was when she came to Baltimore a couple of years ago. And it's been awesome to watch her grow and flourish. And now she's going to stay here in Baltimore instead of go home to Nebraska, and she's going to serve the church. And that's what I want to see, you know, that kind of discipleship.
And all the missionaries go through psychological screening, and then they also undergo spiritual formation as well.
We do. Yeah, what we ended up doing a couple of years ago was taking the program for priestly formation, which is used to govern or direct seminary formation for candidates to priesthood. And we kind of, I use the term, laicized it. You know, we made the program into something that's accessible and workable for young adult men and women who are not living in seminary, but they're a part of our missionary community. So we made that series of adaptations. And then we've adopted some other practices from, you know, vocation offices that are standard now, like the psychological screening. And it's not so that we can weed out serial killers or anything, nothing quite so dramatic. It's actually, it's a very helpful tool. Like I said, if you want to work with a young man or a young woman and help them grow in the ways of discipleship and maturity, it's good to know what those growth edges are. And the psychological evaluation usually is just that helpful tool that kind of helps us learn more about who a person is so that we can help them become who they are. You know, that's how we look at it. Yeah.
Now, the program has undergone a lot of growth in recent years, and you recently received news that you received a $2 million grant, and you're doing additional fundraising for the program. Can you talk about that?
Sure. Yeah, we've been steadily growing. We've created some core staff positions that have really helped kind of solidify the program. You know, we put some time in to make sure we had our own house in order. We have the formation program, I think, where we want it. We feel good about our method. We feel good about how we train and prepare our missionaries to work on the streets. And so with the foundation secure, we're now looking to grow and expand. And we've been working on it for a while now, but we're starting to see some really great investment. We've received the $2 million gift. That's a part of our larger Baltimore Basilica capital campaign, but $2 million earmarked for the missionary program. We're out in the community, myself and the Archbishop and some other friends of the program, talking to people about the work we're doing in Baltimore City. Many folks don't really know about us. We tell them our story. We tell them what we do. And again, that enthusiasm kind of becomes contagious, and they're making more generous gifts and they want to support the mission. So so it's all starting to work. Currently, the missionaries, we are housing them in an old convent over at the former St. Wenceslaus Parish on the east side of Hopkins Hospital. And these funds in particular will go to toward purchasing and renovating that building over time so we can make it into the home we want it to be for our missionaries. One step at a time. But it's been a lot of fun.
And you're receiving some national exposure in the form of other bishops inquiring about how they can do similar things in their diocese.
Was fun. We were focused, the Fellowship of Catholic University Students, which is certainly the largest Catholic missionary organization in the United States. The Focus hosts these SEEK conferences every January for young adults, mostly for college students. And, you know, tens of thousands of young men and women are at these conferences. And so what happens is everybody else in the church who would love, you know, young adults to pay attention to them and think about joining their mission or their program or, you know, reading their book or whatever, they table outside of these convention centers or stadiums. So Source of All Hope, you know, we will have a table next to Christ in the City and next to Vagabond and next to Net Ministries. And, you know, everybody's kind of there together making a sales pitch. And it's not sales work, but it's kind of sales work. Anyway, last year at Focus, we had some other priests stop by to see us. They were asking in particular about how to go about establishing a city parish as a place for relational ministry to the poor. And that's really what is most distinctive about Source of All Hope. The fact that Source of All Hope is a parish mission sponsored by the parish, run out of the parish, and an essential elements of the parish. So our missionaries, they give that witness to what is possible for all of us as disciples, for in terms of charity, you know, these friendships that we can form, you know, you can form them too. We can be more open to the poor, and that's what Jesus wants from us. But then the parishioners, in turn, they also form these authentic friendships with our missionaries, and they welcome them into their homes. And what you get is just like kind of like long-term cultural change, and it's really beautiful. And a whole community can become more open to poverty than they otherwise would be. So that's what's distinctive about Source. And so we had some priests from other dioceses asking, you know, letting us know, like, our bishop in, you know, Alabama is really interested in getting our cathedral parish down there kind of established the way that your cathedral parish is in Baltimore City. Can you help us do it? And, you know, we exchange contact information and answer questions. And it's a really cool thing. I think it's a really beautiful thing. And we're happy to help, I think, in any way we can. I think what helps is that, you know, when all of the bishops come to Baltimore in November for the fall plenary assembly, they always have an opening mass at the Basilica, and the Archbishop Laurie gets to make his, you know, tagline. And then he reps the Source of All Hope program and the Basilica so beautifully. I think sometimes other bishops are actually paying attention, and they don't mind, they don't mind reaching out. So it's a great thing. It's cool. It's good stuff.
Great. And as we leave, how can people get more information about the Source of All Hope?
Oh, you can do a Google search. You can find us, Source of All Hope. We put together a new website over the last year. There are different ways to get involved. We need prayers for sure as we continue to grow our program. We're always, of course, looking for financial assistance and for folks who might want to invest in our capital campaign. This is a really good opportunity right now to make a longer commitment to the work and mission we're carrying out here in Baltimore. We'd love to have people join us. We love it when folks come downtown to join us in mission from wherever they are. We offer a meal service to the homeless on Saturdays during the weeks. We do street walks, kind of going out into the neighborhoods to find the poor and to spend time with them. There are many different ways for folks to get connected, and we'd love to help them do so. So yeah, don't be afraid to look us up online and drop us a note or let us know what we can do. And please keep us in prayer as we continue trying to do some good work.
Well, our guest today has been Father Brendan Fitzgerald. He's the rector of the Baltimore Basilica, and we've been talking about the Source of All Hope Urban Missionary Program. So Father Brendan, thanks again for being here on Catholic Review Radio.
You're very welcome. Thank you, George.
For Catholic Review Radio, I'm George Matisek. Thanks for listening.
The Catholic Review is the only publication in the Archdiocese of Baltimore that covers the Catholic Church full-time. Pick up the monthly magazine at your parish or have it delivered to your home. Subscribe to our e-newsletter for twice-weekly updates. Just text CR Media to 84576. Follow the Catholic Review on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. Read it today in print or online at CatholicReview.org. That's CatholicReview.org.
Thank you for joining us for this edition of Catholic Review Radio. As we prepare for the week ahead, let us do so in prayer together as one community of faith. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Let us also ask the blessing and intercession of our Blessed Mother as we pray, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. May Almighty God bless us and keep us always in his love.